pumped. Jadine, I've got my game of the week is this week, and I'm so excited for it. I've been looking forward to this game for a while. Colorado State and Wyoming on Wednesday, that's my game of the week. Why not? I didn't even need to do, like, a synopsis of why. It's Wyoming and Colorado State, man. There's bad blood. It's all over. It's going to be so much fun. There's so many stars in the Northern Colorado area that we can highlight. Jeff Linder, Nico Medved, Graham EK, David Roddy, Hunter Maldonado, Isaiah Stevens. This is going to be wonderful. The environment's going to be ridiculous. Rams fans, if you're listening, and I know you are, if you're going, you got to bring it like you've never brought it. Moby Arena has to be nuts. It's the whiteout. I got to get a white shirt. I just thought about that. Jaden, write that down. The good ideas list. We keep a good ideas list here. Thank you. You're actually doing it. My other producers never did it. You'll stop. They all do it at first. And then when the good ideas just keep pouring in, they can't handle it. Well, that's not necessarily a good idea. It's just something I need to do. It's the list. I have a white Ram Nation hat. Does that count? Love my friends at Ram Nation. I got to get a white shirt, right? I don't want to be the one guy that's like, I got a blue shirt. I got a Ram shirt, but it's gray. Does gray work? It's gray. It's not going to, or is it going to be obvious? You're going to figure out, there's Brady. It's like, where's Waldo? All right, I'll get a white shirt. Got to bring it, though, man. Both teams have been solid since they played last. And that overtime, they go to overtime. Remember, Roddy and Graham both get fouled out in that game. But since then, I mean, the Rams went 6-1. Wyoming went 5-1. But both had interesting stumbles. Wyoming lost to New Mexico, and then the Rams lost again to UNLV. I think there's a couple of stumbling blocks down the road for Wyoming. And I do think, including Colorado State. Listen, this thing's not done. The Rams have a good shot of winning the regular season title still. If Boise State loses tomorrow night, again, that game's going to be great. That's home, though. San Diego State's going to be in must-win mode because they want to stay alive in this. They want to get to the top. But when I'm looking at it, okay, I see two reasonable games that Boise State could lose. I could see them losing to San Diego State. I could see them losing to CSU. That's at Moby. And who knows? Could UNLV, who... UNLV was beating Boise State at halftime the other day, and they only lost by 6 to them. Could UNLV beat them at home? That's a possibility. So there's some games there where Wyoming could lose. So you're rooting for San Diego State, okay? I think we've determined that, to beat Boise. Then San Diego State still has to go to Wyoming, and they still have Fresno State, and they have at Nevada. So for the Aztecs, you need them to lose. I mean, they're tied. They've lost one less than Colorado State. Then you got to go to the tiebreaker situation. So you need San Diego State to lose once to tie, and then you probably even lose twice, don't you? Again, what's the tiebreaker? Where's my Rams people? Tiebreaker scenario, obviously, is conference. Then it's head-to-head. Then what? Strength of common opponent? Overall record? What is it? We'll get Kevin Lytle on the program. He'll take us through that whole process. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. So obviously you need Wyoming to lose some games, you need San Diego State to lose some games, and Boise State. And as we said, Wyoming's got some stumbling blocks. They still have CSU, San Diego State, and Fresno State, and on the road at UNLV. There's a darn good chance the Rams could still do this thing. If you would have beat UNLV, it'd be right there. They're a game and a half behind Boise State. That is doable, but you're going to need a lot of help. Things are going to need to go not perfectly, but close to it. And it really starts for Colorado State on Wednesday. Beat Wyoming, knock them down. That puts them at 11-3. You're 12-4. Let's root for Boise State loss tomorrow, put Boise State at 12-3. And then this whole thing gets to be a jumbled mess. Love jumbled messes, though. That's what's great about this time of year. The Mountain West Conference has been consistently good all year. And I think it's going to have a finish like we've never seen. And that tournament's going to be absolute madness. But if you're CSU, you got to take care of your business now. Take care of your business right now. They're 21-4. Two of those losses to one team in UNLV. Is UNLV a quad two team? Would you say they're 16-11 and 8-6 in the conference? That's quad two, right? So they've got two quad two losses. Wyoming's quad one. Where is that thing you gave me? I got to find it. So they are 3-2 in quad one wins. So Boise State, San Diego State. Who else at the beginning? Their non-conference schedule was so good. That's what's really going to be their saving grace. So that's going to be great. That's where it's different from what we saw last year. It was their non-conference schedules really going to take control for them. They're 6-1 in quad two. So I don't think UNLV's quad three. Right? Or was UNLV quad three when they played them and then they were quad two the second time around? Is that how that works? Because according to NCAA.com rankings, it has CSU at 6-1 in quad two and 5-1 in quad three. Well, that would, I guess they calculate it when they're quad ones and twos, right? So UNLV, the first time they beat them, they were a quad three. And the second time they beat them, they were quad two. Bam! I love it when we solve things on this show. It's so fun. And then the quad one losses. Got to beat obviously Wyoming in overtime and San Diego State. So not a bad resume. Not a bad resume at all, because you got a lot of quad one wins. You know, Oral Roberts at that point, Creighton at that point, St. Mary's. So it's that non-conference schedule that was so beautiful when they went on that tear and they were so good that's really going to help them out. Holyoke. I believe a coaching scuffle is the next tiebreaker. Medved with the lion tamer. Who's winning that? Since we're talking about coaches fighting today, you know, Juwan Howard with the face swipe. Jeff Linder or Nico Medved? Those are probably about the same size. Both pretty scrappy looking dudes. Both can get pretty feisty on the sideline. Linder might take that. I think so. God, those coaches are going to love that. That's what we talked about today. Who would win in a fight? God, this show has jumped the shark. It's tomorrow's poll question. Medved or Linder? Saturday night pay-per-view. Who you taking? Whoever has the best face swipe ability. Because that's the go-to now. Who you got? Who you putting money on? You can't put money on anybody.
Yeah, I can't bet, unfortunately. That's a tough one, but they have to pick and they have to say what round. Is it going to be a TKO, KO? We go into it.
No, they're going to go the full thing.
You think so?
Yeah. It'll be like scrappy. They'll be scrappy and just go back and forth. I think it's a tight one. It's a great fight.
Yeah.
Wow. That's where we are. You're right. Thanks a lot. That's Holyoke's fault, by the way. He got me started on that. Scuffle is the next tiebreaker. No, it's face slap. Have you seen that? They have the face slap competitions?
Yes.
Have you seen those?
There's a YouTuber I watch who actually like reacts to them and then like analyzes them. There was one big old dude.
They're
who was,
like typically gigantic, like not like Arnold type, but just big dudes that like Taco Bell.
Yeah, big boned guys.
But they can slap. Like, their slaps look harder than a punch would be.
Oh, yeah.
I would rather be slapped by them than punched by them.
I've seen a couple of KOs in that.
They just they take turns slapping each other, and whoever basically gets knocked out or what?
I think they stumble. I think they go until one of them can't go any longer. Like, one of them, like, taps out. I know
that
it's really big.
Suck, man.
Right? It's really big in Russia. I know.
Would you rather be punched by those guys or slapped?
Probably.
Would you rather be punched by Conor McGregor or slapped by one of those giant dudes that you saw in the slap fest thing? Like, one time, just once.
Yeah.
The slap honestly looks worse than the punches.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the punch from Conor. I mean,
makes my face hurt.
Yeah, neither are gonna feel too great, but
the slaps look like they would make your face burn and your ears ring for like 3 days. I mean, I'm not about talking just like a regular person. These guys are good at what they do. They know exactly where to slap you.
Oh, they practice. There's literally leagues. There's leagues and tournaments for this.
Do you think Juwan Howard could be in one of those?
I don't know. The form was looking kind of shaky.
Okay, you watched the video, right?
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think he should be fired for that?
Fired is a lot. I mean,
it's too.
I think it's too extreme. It's more so like a. I kind of think the rest of the season.
Just get him out for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I mean, the season's nearly over anyway. Just get him out for the rest of the season. Maybe a fine, but.
Yeah, I do think that the firing thing is too much. You know, human error sometimes takes over, and I think we forget that so often that it's okay. He screwed up. They all screwed up. It was a bad deal. It was a bad look. But he reached across, face swiped a dude. Fighting continued surrounding them. Looked like other punches were being thrown. I'm one of the guys that looks at this and says, I think it sucked. I think it was a bad look. I think it was embarrassing. And you got to do something big. I mean, Michigan's 14-11. They have a chance, right? I think you kick them out. They can't compete or whatever, and you go from there.
Well, and everyone knows how difficult it is to stay composed in a heat of the moment situation. I mean, like you said, it's a mistake that should not have been made.
No, you're right. It was a terrible look.
Right, and it happens. So,
yeah, I think you suspend him for the rest of the year, and you probably have to fine him, but then that's it. Then you move on, and clean slate, and you get him back next year. Because what Wisconsin did was not illegal. Was it bad sportsmanship to call timeout late? Sure. But, you know, whatever. But, and then the assistant coach coming up, guard coming up to him, and try to stop him and explain. Well, Juwan didn't want to hear it, and he pushed him away, kind of like, hey, get out of my face, and I don't even know what he said. Something like, I'll remember this. And then that kind of fizzled away, and then it kept going, and then that's when the assistant coach came in, which is like, "What are you doing, man? The situation is kind of calming down, and yet you're in the thing too." I watched the whole thing, and it was like it looked like it was about to fizzle, and then you had the assistant head coach jump in, Krabbenhoff. And they're describing it like he hit Wisconsin. Is that a hit? Again, it's not like one of those super-duper slaps. I'm watching it again. There's the head coach for Wisconsin. He's grabbing him, pointing. Okay, Juwan's pointing his face. Then he's kind of walking away. It looks like he's about to walk away. It looks like guard's about to walk away. Guard is pulling back. They've got in between him. And then the assistant coach comes up. And that's when the swipe happens. You got, like, look at the Michigan players behind him. They're like, dude, coach, what are you doing? Get guard out of there. Okay, security guard's got guard away. He's now gone. We're moving on. Then the assistant coach comes up. And then, bam, bear swipe. So what did he say? What did the assistant coach say that warranted the slap? It's an interesting story. I don't think he should be fired. I think he should be suspended. I think you're right. Holyoke, I'd like to see a turnbuckle jump off the replay monitor. That's where Howard went wrong. Yeah, just open this whole thing up, man. Let's go at it from there. Hey, Holyoke, I know you'll... Did you like The Rock's intro? Because I know my guy Holyoke, we're like WWE guys, right? WCW back in the day, because I've talked about it before. And Holyoke and maybe like a handful of others have been like, dude, I appreciate it. Did you like The Rock's intro?
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
He should have cleaned it up. It should have just been a quick like, hey, finally The Rock has come back to the Super Bowl. In this corner, we got the Rams. In this corner, we got the Bengals. Then end it. But then he kept doing the, finally. I mean, I'm like, okay, it's going crazy. I liked it. I just thought it was too long. It could have been. It could have worked. It could have worked. All right, thewholeshow.com. We got our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Do you think Juwan Howard should be fired or maybe just suspended for a season, maybe even two? 21 minutes after the hour, we got a short break coming up. Before we do that, I'll tell you about Rev Chiropractic. That's my go-to. I've been going there for over a year now. Dr. Tyler Terry and Dr. Haley Harada. If my listeners are driving in your car right now and your back's killing you and you're tired of driving and making that drive every single day, or when you're working, there's something that just bugs you and you can't get past it. No amount of ice, no amount of heat, no amount of snap, crackle, pop is doing the trick. Go see my friends at Rev Chiropractic. They'll take you through. They'll get you x-rayed. They'll see where it's going wrong, what they need to do. It's a slower process, but that's a better process. It's not going to give you instant relief. It's going to give you long-term relief. That's my friends at Rev Chiropractic. Tell them I sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. 22 minutes after the hour, when we come back, some more on the Denver Nuggets. Getting set for the second stage of the regular season. When can we expect Jamal? MPJ, is help on the way for the league MVP? We'll be right back.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary. Weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
That's the only time I'll ever have any kind of rap. Like, because that's the Wolfpack song. Jaden, there was a time long, long ago where the WCW needed a shot of life injected into it. And enter Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, and they created the NWO Wolfpack. Ugh! It was like the only thing the WCW had going for them for a while, until ultimately they failed miserably and the WWE bought them out, and I don't know. The rest I quit watching after that. I used to like both of them. I used to watch both. I'm just not into it anymore. I'm not into wrestling anymore. Turns out it's fake. Turns out it's predetermined. It's not fake. I will say this. It's not fake. Like, the moves and everything, you and I would die if we did those that stuff. But, yes, cover your ears. Spoiler alert. It's all predetermined. They write it out. It's a script. Yeah, I know. Hope you were sitting down for that. Eastside, so we're doing random fights, I guess. That's kind of the theme now. Eastside Chris says, Brady, I'd like to see Geico, Flo, and Toyota Jan throw down. So you're just doing like commercial stars? Well, Geico's not winning that. He's not winning that, right? He's a little tiny lizard. He's going to get beat down. Flo is probably taking Toyota Jan, though. No? You got Toyota Jan in this thing? I haven't seen any yet. Flo's kind of weird. So I see her doing weird moves.
Flo's got the respect on her name. She's the more well-known. She's definitely going to have the... She's going to be the ticket seller.
What about the phone girl?
The phone? The who?
They always go in. Is it Verizon? I don't know. They always go in and talk to her, and she's talking about the phones. It's plans.
I think that's... Isn't that T-Mobile?
Yes, T-Mobile.
There we go.
What about her? She could...
Flo versus her. I don't know. Flo.
It's a tough battle, man.
I mean, no one's taking down the farmer's guy.
No, that guy's jacked.
Yeah.
He looks like a player. Like, he's standing next to Mahomes, and I'm like, he's bigger than that guy.
Who's the guy who is always in... Is he the guy who's always in commercials getting beat up? Is that the farmer's guy, or is that someone else?
That's, is that Progressive? Oh, the guy that's like, I'm mayhem.
Maybe it
is. Protect you from mayhem like me. That guy's like Bruce Willis in Die Hard. He could take a beating. I don't know how like good of a fighter he is, but he could take a beating, which is a skill.
He's got a rock solid chin.
Yeah. Bama Bear, what do we need to do to get Luka in Denver? He and Joker would be special. Can you trade the Broncos entire organization? Like, I don't see it happening. Dallas is like, I don't know. Luka loves the Joker, though. Did you see that funny video? Like, Luka sees Joker enter the room at the All-Star game, like in one of their media days, and Luka like does this little kid wave. He's like, and then Joker didn't see him, and they pan over and Joker's talking to somebody else, and then they pan back over to Luka, and he's just got like his lip out, like, he didn't see me. Like, no, you're right. You're right, Bama Bear. What would it take? Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., the entire Broncos organization. The Broncos would have to throw something in, I would imagine. I don't see it happening. Holyoke. Dwayne overdid it. Had the speech been given before the players took the field, it may have been on a better note. Very awkward that they basically kicked off over his head. Undertaker to the Hall of Fame. I did see that. Hell yeah. I loved the Undertaker, man. Although, as I'm growing up watching the stuff, I'm like, this is real, right? Yeah, he's like sacrificing people on a cross in the arena. That seems normal. Like, everybody's just watching it. The theater was so fun. The Ministry of Darkness. The American Badass. The Undertaker had so many cool things about him. Holyoke, we got to get a beer sometime, man. I would just sit and talk WCW, WWE all day long. Like, 90s to 2000s. That's my wheelhouse. 31 minutes after the hour. Let's see if we can get Zach Stevens on from DNVR Broncos. What are we thinking for the draft if it's not a quarterback? Let's catch up with Zach next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now, my great friend Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. Zach, my friend, how are you, dude?
Oh, man, I am doing fantastic. Happy President's Day, Brady. It seems like neither you or I are taking the day off, but that's okay. It means we get to talk.
Hey, we get to talk about a lot of stuff going on, and of course around the Broncos, so many things surrounding this team. And where are we, Zach? I kind of want to get your thoughts. You know, kind of recalibrate here about the ownership situation. What are you hearing as far as the groups coming in? How close? What does the timeline look like?
Yeah, no timeline right now. We are still a decent amount out right now. So no real update. Groups groups are starting to call the Broncos. The Broncos, and when I say the Broncos, I mean their representatives. Representatives are reaching out to wealthy people to see if there's any interest. And right now we're kind of in the fact-finding stage of this portion, just getting people who are interested, seeing who's interested. And then this is going to take a couple of weeks, if not a couple of months. So we're still in this type of process.
What's, again, any of those names sticking out? Any new names, any new players to the table that we should be talking about or looking out for?
No, not really right now. I would say that the biggest thing that's happened in the past couple of weeks is the NFL really showing interest in wanting the Broncos to have a minority owner here. And that would be, of course, the first minority owner in the entire NFL. That is going to be something that is a huge, huge emphasis. We've heard some stories come out that the NFL is really going to do anything they can in order to have a minority owner for an NFL team. And, of course, the Broncos are the first team that's up. So we could absolutely see a big push by the NFL for that to happen.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on that story for sure. I know that's the big one, but it's also the one, as you said, no real timeline. We don't really know when to expect it. Does that – and obviously it didn't dissuade guys like Nathaniel Hackett, and George Payton knew what was coming at some point. But how do you think, and have you heard anything like how they're dealing with it? Because my mind goes to this. What if the new owner is a Jerry Jones kind of guy who wants to come in and really put his stamp. And I'm not saying he comes in and blows everybody out year one or two, but there's certainly a threat of, hey, I like it this way, I like it that way, this is what I want to do in the draft. Is there a real fear maybe from both George Payton and Nathaniel Hackett and maybe the fan base that you might get a very, very much hands-on type owner?
Yeah, there should be. There should be that, because that is something that could happen. Now, the Broncos and the Trust, they're going to try to get an owner that will allow the Broncos to be run how they were run in the Pat Bowlen era, in terms of a guy that comes in that cares about the team, that cares about winning number one, but also will let the people under them do their jobs, just like Pat Bowlen did. Look, he knew what was going on, but he was going to let his general manager make the calls. He was going to let his head coach run the team. That's the ideal situation for the Broncos. And a reason that the reason to alleviate some concern of that was by giving George Payton a 5-year contract, was by giving Nathaniel Hackett a 4-year deal, so that if things do go astray, they are going to be fine financially in terms of their contracts. But there is no guarantee that the next owner doesn't come in and is the next Jerry Jones and just trumps everyone and even blows out everything in a year after being here. So there is no guarantee of that, but the Broncos certainly hope that they are given to an owner that takes it more of the Pat Bowlen approach.
We're talking to Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. Zach, assuming this team doesn't go forward with a quarterback in the draft, which I think is it's a fairly decent bet that they don't, because there's certainly options out there. I know you guys were really hitting on the positions, and you and I teased it a little bit last week, but is there a position group that really stands out to you that you think, hey, this is going to be the strength in the draft? Also a good combination of need, because sometimes you get those drafts, right, where you can see that you need a tackle, but there's not many good tackles. So do you see that linking up, where the position of need pops up with a good position group in this draft in the first round?
Yeah, thankfully, and you're absolutely right, Brady. Sometimes it happens and you're like, oh no, these things do not add up. The team's needs plus where the draft is. And when I look at this draft, I do see it adding up pretty darn well for the Broncos. And you look, the Broncos have a few glaring positions of need, potentially right tackle. Well, there's two really good right tackles in Evan Neal and Charles Cross. Both of them are not going to be there for the Broncos at 9. One of them, maybe Charles Cross, could be there at 9. That would be a great pick for the Broncos. And then you look on the defensive side. Broncos need inside linebackers, and they need outside linebackers in terms of edge players. And there are good players at both of those spots for the Broncos, potentially at 9. You see a lot of mock drafts having the Broncos linked to Devin Lloyd, an inside linebacker, athletic linebacker from Utah. And you also see him linked to N'Kobe Dean, the really good inside linebacker from Georgia. Both of those could be the Broncos picks at 9. And then at edge, the draft is really top-heavy with two guys at Thibodeau and Hutchinson. Those guys probably both going to be gone for the Broncos, but you also have another edge from Michigan, David Ojabo. He's there, and there's some other guys that the Broncos could target at 9 as well. So those are actually the three really good spots that the Broncos could find a good player at a position of need if it's not going quarterback at 9.
We're talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. And also, we got to get through free agency, too. And the Broncos got to look at their free agency situation in-house first, at least their guys. You and I have hit this a bit, but there's a lot of names out there that made this defense part of what they were throughout the course of the season. And obviously, that's the defensive backfield. That could be very different. Obviously, we know Justin Simmons is fine, Patrick Surtain, but it does feel like the cornerbacks and Kareem Jackson, that could be much different next season.
Completely different. And Brady, we could be talking about a defense that was like top three in talent last year, dropping back to just an average defense in terms of talent. And you're right, it does start there. Kyle Fuller, he was hit or miss last year. Well, he's not going to be on the team this coming year, especially with Vic Fangio gone. But not just him, Bryce Callahan. A guy who was hit or miss on if he played, but when he played, he was really good. You're losing two starting corners from last year to this year, and that's not it. Kareem Jackson as well. And Brady, I would like to see the Broncos bring Kareem Jackson back, because, man, not only is he a really good player, but he's a tone setter for this defense, and that's something you like. But you can't forget what the Broncos did with Kareem last year. George Payton cut Kareem Jackson. Kareem Jackson was on the open market for a couple of weeks before he came back on a half-price deal. And Vic Fangio was Kareem Jackson's biggest supporter. Vic Fangio no longer here. Got to think Kareem Jackson's gone. So we're talking about three starters in the back, in the defensive backfield that are likely going to be gone. And then what do you do at inside linebacker? You have Josie Jewell, Alexander Johnson. Those guys are on expiring deals. Do you bring either of those guys back? How do you handle the inside linebacker position? Those are huge question marks. We're talking about nearly half the defense being free agents right now, and it doesn't seem like the Broncos are going to bring many of those guys back. There's huge question marks on the defensive side of the ball. And remember, that was the strength of the Broncos the past 5 or 6 years. That could end up being the weakness of this team.
And that's what I think, that's the one thing, like, if you were kind of wanting to hang on to that defensive dream that you could win games defensively, that's the tough part, because you could shift all the way over to a high flying offense, which would be exciting. But for some of those, like, old schoolers, old people probably like me, you still kind of want to hold on to this, oh, this juggernaut of a defense that could come up with big plays. You know, you mentioned Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson too. Josie was off to a great start to the season. Then he goes down. Johnson made so many plays. He just could, you know, how many times was he in the right position? Just couldn't complete the interception or recover a fumble.
Right.
But, man, that guy has a nose for where the action is.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you talk about the backups that came in last year and played really well. Jonas Griffith, Kenny Young. What do you do with those guys?
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things for George Payton this offseason is going to be determining how much of this linebacker play, especially the inside linebackers, was because of Vic Fangio and how much of it was because of just the talent that these guys have. Did George Payton find these hidden gems, or was it all Vic Fangio getting it out of them? And he's going to have to parcel through that, because what you don't want is, let's say, let Kenny Young and Josie Jewell walk because you bring back Alexander Johnson and Jonas Griffith, and it was actually Vic Fangio that really helped the guys you kept, but it's Kenny Young and Josie Jewell that are the studs. You want to make sure that you work that right, because the Broncos have like six quality starting inside linebackers at points throughout last year. Are all six of them legitimate starting quality caliber guys, or are only two of them? George Payton's going to have to figure that out, because that's going to be huge. And then also, do you use the number 9 overall pick on a massive upgrade at inside linebacker with N'Kobe Dean, let's say, from Georgia? Or do you instead go with two guys who were on your roster last year and hope that they can be average to above average?
Well, and you're right. There's so many big questions as far as that's going to be a tough gig for George Payton. You got to find a way. You said it perfectly. You got to find a way to decipher whether that was Vic or the talent. And boy, I don't know how you even begin to do that. If that's Vic putting the guys, because they're all athletes at this stage, is it just Vic putting them in the right position? On the offensive side, really the big question as far as free agents, obviously Melvin Gordon. But it sounds like, I mean, what does it look like that he is going to test free agency?
Man, it is crazy with Melvin Gordon. I mean, you see him, he's been on multiple different national shows in the past couple of weeks talking about Aaron Rodgers to Denver. And he's talking about it like he is on the Broncos. And every time I see this, I have to remind myself, like, wait, Melvin, you're like trying to recruit Aaron Rodgers to Denver. You're not even on the Broncos as it stands right now. What I've been told is that Melvin Gordon really wants to return. We heard his comments at the end of last year, and I've been told behind the scenes that those comments are 100% true. He really wants to return. He has to be given a good enough offer. Look, he does not need an offer that's going to break the bank. He doesn't need an $8 million offer. Just don't disrespect him with an offer. And he wants to be back on this team. So, man, if I'm George Payton, I really do try to bring Melvin Gordon back with the understanding that it's going to be on a way smaller deal. And also that instead of Melvin really being the one and Javonte being the 1B like it was last year, it's probably going to be flipped. Javonte is going to be the 1A, Melvin's going to be the 1B. In an ideal world, you get that deal done. But man, if I'm Melvin, I think he could find a bigger role and more money out on the open market with a better team. Let's say the Buffalo Bills. Man, he makes so much sense there. But I agree, that's a big question mark. And Melvin really does want to be back, though.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun to see the free agency side of it, the draft. It's never going to sleep, Zach, and I know you guys are all over it. What are you working on that we can check out from you in the next couple of days or next couple of hours?
Yeah, well, the big thing, Brady, is tomorrow we finally get to meet the Broncos coordinators. We get to meet offense, defense, and special teams coordinator for the first time. The Broncos are having a press conference tomorrow at noon, right when your show starts. So I'm going to be breaking all of that down. Find out exactly what scheme Everell and the defense are going to be running. See what Justin Outen brings to pair along with Nathaniel Hackett. And then we'll get to see what Dwayne Stukes on special teams is going to bring to that unit. The Broncos have had some characters with Brock Olivo, Tom McManus, special teams coordinator. We're going to see if there's another character in Dwayne Stukes or if he's going to be more of a mellow personality, but maybe bring better special teams to the Broncos.
Wouldn't that be nice? Zach, appreciate you as always, yes. My friend. We'll catch up with you soon. We'll get your thoughts on after all that takes place.
Let's do it, Brady. I can't wait.
All right, man. Zach Stevens of DNVRBroncos.com. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We're almost done here. We're going to take a short break, and we'll wrap up with what's on TV tonight. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I don't have a lot of time, all right? We blew through this entire show. Great one today. Had so much fun, as we always do. What's on tonight? How about right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA? We got Betting Across America after the show. We got the Good Afternoon Guy, Brian Gary, going to keep you thoroughly entertained. And then Idaho State, UNC at 6 o'clock. Pregame coverage starts at 5:30. Good night, Northern Colorado.